The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is the 19th of July, 2016, if you can believe that already. And go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. All you have to do is give us your email address. You got 10 paragraphs to think, commit, and take action. Also on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Top 10 ways to build, no, that's the ebook. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Two biggest products to date, but look out because we are coming like a tidal wave now. Very simple, very basic, but they are not only thought-provoking. Everything we've done here has worked out magnificent. On strength times power, that was where Dennis lost 43 pounds, but that's a program where I use for everybody here because everything there can be plugged in and out. The winner's circle, that's the big one. That's 12 modules where it's just me. If you love power rack training, stone lifting, the old York's old school iron boots, sandbag lifting, philosophy, mental tenacity, it's all there. And believe me, it doesn't matter what grade or what level you're at as a trainer, there's nothing on there that can't be pared down to whatever you want. You can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I will help you with any of your needs. Also, motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. We have our good friend, and I'll bring him in a moment. We have Dr. Bob Weil on today. Now, Dr. Weil and I have done quite a few podcasts already. It's rich with content. It's got tons and tons of material that you're not going to get, man. You're going to have to go out and invest tons of money in books. And I'm not saying don't do that, but boy, you want to come in here and learn some stuff. There's one gentleman right there. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, in the last few days, David Whitley, Rick Brown, Bill Crawford, Rainer Wartell, James Fuller, Jed Johnson, Paolo Veduto. This guy is off the hook from Norway. Adrian O'Brien from Ireland. John Wood, U.S. Wellness Meats. Chase Carnes, World Strongman. I mean, Bud Jeffries, on and on. And I don't mean to not put everybody here, but it'd be half the show reading them all down the list. We got it all here. So check out, at least go out and look at Dr. Weil's stuff. It's incredible stuff. I want to give you a little breakdown on Dr. Weil, and we will bring him right in momentarily. Number one, here we go. He specializes in podiatric medicine, orthotics, and sports medicine. He hosts a weekly radio show called The Sports Doctor on Healthy Life Net. And he speaks to, you know, that's one thing. He's a hell of a speaker. He speaks to professionals from all over the world on these various topics. And if you ever heard his show, it's on Wednesdays. He'll have to correct me, but it's 3 Eastern. I think it's 1 or noon in Chicago, but he can set us straight on that. And we're going to talk about a few things today. What does it take to be an Olympian? The differences between acute and chronic injuries and how to treat them. And we're going to talk about indications for orthotics. So, Dr. Bob, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Eric. It's good to be back. See that you're on message and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Again, congratulations on your continued success. Your show is everywhere. Again, we've been, I think, since the beginning, I've done them once a month, something like that with you. You add some really, really good, solid education. And again, your title, Motivation and Muscle, the whole mental side of things. Yes, my show is 4 o'clock Eastern, Eric.
3 o'clock. Okay, 4, Central, I'm sorry.
Yes, 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, where we're on an hour a week. And where we're talking on the sports doctor, again, I'm a sports podiatrist. So often the role of the foot, what's the right shoe, what about foot-related problems is a big topic. But the sports doctor is much more expansive. We talk concussions. We talk about the latest injury that's going on. We talk about drugs in sports. We talk about parenting the child athlete, again, with guests from all over the world. You've been on the show where we've talked about what it's like to carry around 1,000-pound stones up and down a pig pen. And that whole world of strength and strength training. So it's good to be on with you. It's a great topic, for example, what it takes to be an Olympian. It's an exciting time with all the warts and craziness between the virus and the doping and the Russians and whatever. I, for one, am very, very excited when the Olympics come. I'm going to be very excited to see what Michael Phelps could do. In his fifth Olympics, Eric. Think about it.
No, you talk about a special athlete, man. He doesn't look like he's lost a blip.
It's interesting. We talk a lot about the mental game on your show. This is a great example. Here's a guy who's had his troubles. You know, he was in this tremendous bubble since he's on the world stage forever. He's fallen off that stage. He did a little bit of rehab. He seems to be somebody. He's got a young son, I believe.
Yeah, he does. You're right.
And his life has changed. He's been so focused. Wouldn't surprise me he wins more gold, but he's going in with a whole different attitude. And that's one of the big topics in what it takes to become an Olympian, which is, you know, the superstar-like quality, both physically and mentally, to train forever.
Yeah.
Try to be the best in the world.
Well, you know this, from being a father and a grandfather, kids change you, and maybe that's what he needed. You know, we as athletes, and I'll be the first to admit, you have to be kind of a selfish individual, and it's got to be you all the time. But you know something? Business happens. Other events in your life happen, and maybe this put him in perspective.
Success happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super success happens. And, you know, whether you look at Tiger Woods, whether you look at this one example after another, we had a very interesting guest, you know, his name escaped, Dr. Sanders. Anyway, his specialty was working with these athletes coming out of college, some of them going into college with expectations of scholarships, et cetera. So the ability to focus, the ability to be able to handle setbacks, all of some of the things mentally that really go. You know, I had a question once on the Sports Doctor. I'll ask you and your millions of listeners, what do you think is more difficult, to become a professional athlete in one of the sports we love and recognize, or to be an Olympian?
I would say probably an Olympian.
You really could argue both sides of the equation. We know how difficult it is to be either. I remember, one of my poster boys, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medal figure skater, Evan Lysacek, who grew up in Naperville, Illinois. I put orthotics in Evan's skates when he was 10 years old. I remember his phone number was 2006 as he was heading to the Olympics. And watching his ability to plan 4 years ahead.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of mindset with some of the other Olympians that maybe we would see, you know, sometimes people have enough problem worrying what they're going to have for lunch tomorrow. Or
Absolutely. How
do I stay on my fitness program? Or, gee, everything else is in the way. And this tremendous mental focus. I'm not saying it's for everybody. And it's interesting. We have many guests on my show, Eric. You can train these capabilities.
Yep.
We have guests on who talk about, again, visualization. Last week, Gaston Cordova works with professional golfers as a physical therapist on that whole mental side. So become a professional athlete, really, just as tough. Maybe, maybe not. You'll have to lay that out to your listeners. Let me know what the feedback is.
Well, I want to tell you something I thought of you the other day. We had Alex here, who's 15, and we had Dennis here. He was a gentleman that lost all the weight over 2 years ago. He's not happy with a lot of the things he's doing right now, training. He wants to get a little bit of...
Is Alex a young basketball player, Eric?
You got it, Doc. And I did something very interesting the other day with the two of them. I made Alex take the lead role of me. And his job and Dennis's job was not only to count the reps that they were doing, because they were doing some brutal stuff with kettlebell and stone walking, and of course it was like 90 degrees here and it was humid as could be. And what I did with this kid, I brought him out of his shell even more the other day, and I made him critique Dennis when he would do movements, correct him, and it was vice versa the same way. You should have seen this kid spark. Every time as we went into every round of working out, he became more of a personality, more vocal, more looking. I would literally make him follow Dennis when he was not in his peripheral vision at all, but follow him. I want him to watch his steps. Why did I do this? Because I'm creating now a coach here. And the only time I spoke is when I had to correct both of them. You should have seen this thing take place.
Yeah,
you would have been like, wow.
Pay attention to when it's 95. You know, we had topics again.
Yep.
This is the great topical time. It's the summer. You have within a month the beginning of summer programs, and heat-related concerns are a big, big deal. So we just want to shout that out, absolutely, to be paying big attention when we're talking about the heat, whether it's adults in their recreational sports, walking, jogging, golf, tennis, who are taking medicine. Maybe they're not used to, you know, all of a sudden it's 100 degrees out, happens on the East Coast, happens in the Midwest. So pay attention. But back again to that Olympian scenario, where again, one of the challenges again is a topic we talk about a lot on the Sports Doctor, Eric, which is specialization. Again, you have young growing children. This is their sport, whether it's figure skating, whether it's gymnastics, whether it's tennis, I call them the prodigy sports. And you have tremendous attention. We all would love all young kids as they grow to play multiple sports. That's ideal. Use different parts of the body. Don't get these repetitive motion injuries, which were a big deal. But the reality is, when you're dealing with anybody who comes close to becoming an Olympian in a sport, they are specializing very – you don't become world champion at 16 years old unless you've been doing it 10 years.
Absolutely.
So physically, we like to, again, understand that prehab, paying attention to what's the body type of this kid, what's their structure, what's their foot mechanics, what's their history of injury. These are the kinds of things all ongoing that have to be paid huge attention, because injuries are such a big part of the game. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, the difference between acute injuries, injuries that just happened. Wow, I stepped in a hole or I tripped on something, I got injured. And chronic or overuse injuries that, gee, Dr. Weil, I don't remember when it started. It just started hurting, and it's much more of a different story, two different types. We'll talk about that. But the idea that specialization is there whether we like it or not. So what we like to do and understand what it takes to become an Olympian is to develop the proper kind of strengthening and conditioning program that will better prepare that young boy or girl for their particular sport. Bob Guider would talk about many times, the great kinesiotherapist. We're going to get him on your show, heck of high water, in the future.
Okay.
We'll talk about working the opposite, strengthening the brakes. And what you're talking about now, again, which is this whole mental side, mental focus. I remember having on the radio show, and if people go to my website, Eric, sportsdoctorradio.com, they can go back to the October 2010, I'm sorry, March 2010 radio show, where I had Lysacek's mom on the radio, Tanya, and I said to her, because we were really talking about the specialization and what it takes and these kinds of challenges, and a big question is Little League parents and overzealous parents, and, you know, we all know those stories.
Oh, yeah.
So I said to her, how did you know you weren't over-pushing them? How did you know you weren't overdoing it? You know, I've told the story before, but for your millions of new listeners.
Exactly.
You know, Dr. Weil, we had to get up at 5 in the morning for ice time with Evan, and I never had to wake him up. He was always in the car, man, with his gloves on, ready to go to the rink. You can't talk a kid into that. They to have the kind of motivation and focus, or they don't. And again, that's the topic of parenting a child athlete, whether we're talking about a kid who might become special enough to get a scholarship or might have that one in a million, really is, the numbers are, capability of becoming an Olympian or professional athlete years and years later. And again, as we roll right into the scenario, which is injuries is such a big part of these situations. And oftentimes we see that that's one of the biggest challenges, which is coming back from injuries and or dealing with all those kinds of consequences. This, Eric, very importantly, there's nothing bigger in the news about the Olympics. The whole Russian team, the whole world of doping right back in our face.
Yep.
Drugs and sports starts early, often because of abuse physically with scheduling, where we've got children playing the same sport or playing every day, and the pressure increases. Again, we characterize the old Little League parent syndrome. Or, you know, hey, listen, you don't understand, Doc. We've got a gymnastics meet next week, and well, she's taking two Advil twice a day because her ankles are hurting her. And, you know, we've got the – everybody's coming to watch my son. He's got a scholarship on the line. I know his knees are killing him. But, you know, and if it's supervised, you can smartly it's one of the arts of sports medicine is that kind of supervision, which is these compromises. Because the general rule is, Eric, and it's a big one. You got your pen in your hand?
I'm right here.
If your son or daughter needs pain medicine or over-the-counter anti-inflammatory, we all know them, the Advils, the Motrins, the aspirins, the Aleves, and it's big, it's advertised, it's in your face every day. How's your ibuprofen day going? You know, if you need pain medicine to participate, then you're over the line.
Without a doubt.
You got to pay attention. Now, that's not, again, if supervised. If we were to see, we do it all the time, where we might see, hey, you know, you've got that tennis tournament. We know your feet have been hurting you, the 14-year-old. We're going to maybe take some ibuprofen for 10 days, 5 days. If supervised, it's good sports medicine.
Yeah.
If it
yeah.
becomes, again, as we see these pressures, whether it's high school, whether it's college, you're now a pro athlete. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You've got all sorts of aches and pains. There's drugs everywhere you look. And the biggest scourge in our country, we've talked about it before, but we should talk about it all the time, is this epidemic of pain pill addiction. And the end line of that a lot of times is the heroin nightmare we're looking at with kids who get hooked on prescription opioids, painkillers that are way, way, way overprescribed. So the becoming an Olympian, becoming a great athlete, parenting a young athlete, there's no doubt about it that there are those kinds of pressures. And I remember the great book by Andre Agassi, the great tennis player.
Yep.
He was one of the
yep.
few. He must have been 13 years old. He walked into Bob Guida's clinic, and he whatever it was in the 80s with us. It was him, Pete Sampras, Michael Chang, these three punks, 13, 14 years old. But he talked about growing up. He hated tennis. His father made him play. He had tennis balls in the crib. Yes, he became the best in the world. But we've all seen these kinds of stories. Michael Phelps, where he said, you know, I don't want to look at water, man. Leave me alone already. So these are the kinds of challenges that often, again, lead to this reliance on medicine. We're not condoning cheating in any way, shape, or form. And there's lots of cheating going on. Again, the it's going to be interesting to see what transpires at these crazy Olympics coming up with the whole Russian controversy. But the heck with them. We're going to get excited about whether the fastest man in the world, Bolt, can come back from that the hamstring, and the basketball teams, and the golf, and whatever. And just marvel at these young men and women, boy and girl athletes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole thing is, too, you know, we're talking just about things to keep you so you can keep playing. I mean, and, you know, when you're talking blood dope, and we know what all that is, too. And, of course, you know, anybody that's good is going to be on steroids. Maybe they are, maybe they're not.
No, it's not. They're not.
Right.
But at the same
right.
time, it's a fine line. Again, you remember the phrase that maybe I'll copyright one of these days, which is we're not talking performance-enhancing drugs. We're mm-hmm. talking performance-surviving drugs.
Absolutely.
Where we're looking to survive. For everybody listening who's active in whatever they happen to be doing, whether you're a parent of a boy or girl, whether it's you yourself, whether you're a runner, whether you're at the gym every day like Eric, whether you're doing something in the world of strength sports or whatever, you know, you have to be aware of the world of injury.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what we want to all touch on, you know, which is the difference between acute injuries, which we just mentioned that just happened, what to do about it, and more insidious or gradual or ongoing kinds of chronic injuries. Often the extent and attention to these things are a little bit different. You're going to have one of my guests on in the next month or so, Gary Reinl, the author of the book Iced, which talks about the fact that ice really doesn't help anything in the world of healing, which is a bombshell and a half because of the tradition of icing. Because the whole concept of acute injury treatment was really based on the RICE principles or ICE principles. They threw R in after, and ICE principles was ice, compression, elevation initially for an injury. And it's okay because even if the numbness of discomfort, which is one of the few things that ice really, really can do, that's often very, very helpful compared to using heat on an area, an injury that just happened that might blow it out. Hey, you know, Doc, I sprained my ankle, but, man, the whirlpool was right there, and, you know, it felt so good, and, gee, 3 hours later it's swollen twice the size. You know, because of the fact that we infused heat into the area right away. Gary will talk about muscle activation being the main factor in reducing acute problems, which is to activate the area that's adjacent so that you could stimulate the world of healing. So it's an interesting controversy. He's in the middle of it in that regard. So often, again, we know acute injuries happen. What's interesting, Eric, is probably 95% of sports, quote-unquote, injuries aren't surgical injuries. They don't require surgery. They're in the world of rehabilitation, physical therapy, what I like to call intelligent rest. That's a great term because it's got to mix in. You know, like you said, hey, Doc, you don't understand, man. I'm going to Iceland. I've got these things coming up. My shoulder's been bothering me, but I'm pushing through it. And this is where the intelligence of the rest comes in, right, Eric?
That's correct. You can't look at you and I both know, all right? The amount of force and the amount of weight you're using and the movement and this and that. And once again, I'll hit mental thing again because especially with what I do, I'll tell you what, and I'll make this quick. The last couple workouts, I've had to do a lot of stone work. Excuse me. And it's been 103 degrees in my garage, and it's obviously in the 90s with high humidity. We all know that. But what I found more than anything, a lot of times I will give myself another day of recovery, whether I feel it or not, because of I've put such
Eric,
a burden on myself.
You've got to be smart. Yep. We see professional athletes every summer where they're surrounded with expertise, go down with heat-related concerns. Now, sometimes not to be too facetious, we tell people if it's 103 in your garage and 90 outside, watch a movie, do some cross training, respect the fact you don't live in the desert. It's not going to stay 105 degrees. One of the challenges, again, is that when our body is not acclimatized, as we like to call it, could take weeks for your body to really get used to recovering from what, you know, whether it's the overhydration, underhydration, and just the strain and stress that it takes. So even a young dude like you, you should be super aware and absolutely, and including another day of recovery is just smart. Even if you're only interested in enhancing your performance and preventing injury, and you're like everybody else, that's your two main interests.
Well, not only that, and the thing is, one thing I haven't told you this. You know, we talked the mental game here, you and I especially.
I gotta stay on top of you, Eric.
Well, I'm telling you, you're going to love this because I'm going to be the first. See, I'm not afraid to admit things, and I'll tell you the truth, because a lot of athletes don't want to ever admit it, but when you can do that, you can keep rolling on. When I was lifting out of the rack, pulling the stone from 6 inches above the ankle, and then I was taking the other stone and sprinting 10 step sprints with it at 150.
How heavy is that stone?
The one that I was sprinting with, I kept it at 150, and I went to 390 for my pull out 6 inches above the ankle. So I was going, whatever the weight was, I'd immediately run out, grab the other stone at 150, do 10 steps with a sprint, explosive, turn around, come right back, all right?
Yeah.
Now, this is you're going to appreciate this because this is something big. I got near the last two sets when I was going to rip them out of the hole in the rack. And it was extremely hot. I couldn't dry off, and that stone is like ice. And tacky wouldn't work. Forget chalk, because chalk just gets all like thick, like a pudding. All right. So I went to 350. I blew it up, took it, went out, grabbed the other stone, ran it, came back, got a few puffs. Set the other stone up to 390, and all of a sudden you start getting that little creep into your head. It's hot. You got to do this. And I'm saying to myself, no, you're not going to get in my head. But even a guy like me that takes so much pride in being so mentally tough, when that heat is bearing down on you and I'm in the back of that garage, I can't even get a breath of air. It's so hot in there. I was like, I'm going to do this thing if it kills me. So
do you have a fan blowing in there at least?
Nothing. I won't do it, and I'll tell you why. Because this is why I've had such success. I know enough when to slow down or know enough when to shut the door for the night, but I knew that I didn't have enough yet, and I was pretty hammered. I mean, you couldn't look at me without saying, did you get sprayed down with a hose, basically. So I dried myself off as best as I could. I stood in front of the stone, and I said like this, I've done this technique before. I know I can get it. And I yelled the technique out to myself 5 times before I engaged it. But I was no more than 3 inches away from the front end of that stone. So at 390, what I do is, and this is why I got in telling everybody why I work the insertions of the pec and the shoulder so deeply, because these stones will try to pull forward on you. If they do, you can tear a pec real easy, and I don't want any more tears in my lifetime. So what I went in and did, I got up to that thing, repeated that 5 times. I grabbed that sucker, and I let it go forward a little bit on me. Pulled it back and stood right up with it, because I've done it before where it rocked me back a couple feet and almost knocked me over. I was totally successful with it. I held it 1-2, put it down, ran out, grabbed the 150, went down and came back, and that was my night. Now, what I want to, and this is where I'll go right back to you, because I know we've got stuff going, we still got other stuff, but I want to tell people right now, sometimes you're going to make it, sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's going to be 103 out there. Sometimes I'm training 20 below and the bar's sticking to my neck. I know that sounds nutty to a lot of people, but there are elements of mental fortitude, attitude, whatever you want to place on it, that I need to do. This is for me, the athlete. I like things as rugged and as hard as they can be without
– What do you
– Go ahead.
What do you call your sport, Eric? What is your sport called?
Well, they would call it strongman, but I do so many different things. I don't know if I could put a label on it. All I think about is this.
What's the sport of movement?
Mental strong.
Okay. What's the sport where that you would be going to compete in Iceland?
That would be strongman, stone okay. lift.
So strongman is all the what kind of shoe are you in, man? We'll jump right into orthotics and shoes.
Well, you know what I've got. I've got
told you 20 times, right? What kind of boot are you wearing?
I'm wearing the regular flat-footed Converse, and I went out and got that orthotic that you suggested at a foot store, and that's inside the shoe.
Excellent.
We
know that one of these years you're going to pass through Chicago, you're going to get a prescription devices which will enhance your performance, stability, and balance, but right out of the box many times we will recommend what you did, which is whether it's Superfeet, whether it's a doctor.
That's what it was, Superfeet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Superfeet's been around for decades. We used to see him in skates, and you know my involvement in skate. Matter of fact, I just sent you our new newsletter, which goes out to like 5,000 people, with the author of the book Anatomy of a Figure Skating Injury that I participated in, John Harmata. Our newsletter is called High Performance Figure Skating. I'll tell you, again, 95% of the high performance figure skaters I see, Eric, are teenagers and under.
Yep.
Adolescents and younger. Young growing kids, again, pushing the envelope. So the idea of structural integrity is a major key. The difference many times between what you could buy and the goal of an orthotic when done properly is positioning the joints of the foot and ankle, of the leg, optimally. So many times in general, we would say to all your listeners, I don't care what this sport is, if we're dealing with persistent lower extremity problems, Dr. Weil, my son keeps complaining his knees hurt. Our ankles are always a problem. I'm always getting shin splints when I'm running. This low back just doesn't go away. Then paying attention to foot mechanics and including orthotics when done properly is usually a big step forward in reducing that kind of wear and tear. I'm always singing the song to audiences, Eric, hey, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bones. That's where it's at. Whether you're lifting hundreds of pounds of stone and you're running across an unstable surface, which is what you're doing in strongman, or you're coming out of the batter's box, or you are trying to do a double or triple jump in figure skating. So not supporting the arch. And again, people can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. They can read lots of articles on whether it's parenting the child athlete, whether it is specialization, or whether it is what is the role of orthotics, which is why we tell parents and active people to include podiatry who can best counsel us. Hey, what's the best shoe for you? Should you be in a high top? Should you be in you definitely have to be in your sport in a side-to-side stable shoe. You can't be in running shoes, which were made for one foot in front of the other. So one of the big things we talk about a lot is not do I need orthotics because my feet hurt, but whether I would benefit because of either problems I'm having, number one, or I'm looking to try to be the best. I tell parents all the time, and youngsters who fall asleep when you talk to them about injuries. But if I'm talking to them, Eric, about you want to be a step quicker, they're listening to me.
We include
along with what we're talking about, the idea of being in the best shoe for your foot type. You have high arches, you have flat feet, et cetera. Are you in a shoe that specializes in the type of sport you're playing? The role of orthotics, including podiatry, to be able to talk about that, and then to include the area of strengthening those feet and ankles, which to this day is still, I won't say it's a secret, but often it's left out, where we've got these kids in the weight room worrying about how much they could bench press, how much they could curl, what I can squat with. But they can't balance. I would tell you, balance on one foot. Show me how stable you are. We'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I will be visiting next year because
we'll be looking for you.
Well, I'll tell you, because Scotland and Spain – and maybe Iceland again are on my list for 17. So
wow.
that would help me immensely because, as you know, I'm going to be on my feet all the time.
Well,
so,
not only that, but you're performing. So
right,
you know,
exactly.
The foot is designed as a mechanical marvel that allows us to adapt to the surface we're on. It allows
yep.
us to push off that surface. And it's a complicated ball and socket-like mechanism. And if the timing, if your foot is not in the position of push-off, called supination, when your big toe is lining up as we
yep.
begin to bear weight and push off, this is a different position, Eric, than what we call pronation, when you're first hitting the ground and your foot and ankle is a shock absorber. So in
yep.
plain English, if your foot is not lined up ideally to push off, then you ain't pushing off with the optimum alignment. You're like pushing off with off a sandbag because
yep.
the foot is not aligned properly. So if you're talking about doing a triple jump in figure skating or a quad jump, then this is where we've seen some astonishing differences over the decades. I don't want to age myself for any. And again, whether you're looking to reduce the chances of injury,
yep.
of torque in the knees, or in balance, low back, et cetera, or ankles, or we're talking about a talented youngster like your young basketball player, and
yep.
saying that question, which is not whether the kid needs orthotics, but whether he'd benefit.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very, very big point that we want to get across when we're talking about what are optimum orthotics? If I said to you, you would benefit from glasses, and I said, you know, Eric, go to Walgreens.
Yep.
And get a pair of reading glasses, and you might find them or, you know, helpful. That's the interesting analogy comparison to like putting super feet in your shoes or saying that I'm taking molds of your feet and prescribing orthotics. So include podiatry when we're talking about these kinds of questions locally, sports podiatry ideally, and it mixes in very well with other members of the team, you know, the chiropractic friend and,
sure.
and physician of yours who
yep.
kept you out of trouble all these years, right?
Oh, yeah, and I still agree with you on my favorite, and that's always going to be massage.
Yes.
That is the best.
Soft tissue therapy, massage therapy is very, very helpful in recovery.
Yep.
There's not a serious athlete or team that doesn't have, and this hasn't been that way for about 10 years ago, where massage therapy was a key component in recovery. And whether you're 90 or whether you're a young adolescent, massage can be very, very helpful in stimulating recovery, reducing stress, both physically to your muscles as well. I'm also a very big acupuncture fan. I'm a
yep.
big the physical therapy fan. If you've got a talented youngster, besides the sport they're playing, again, you might go to a good physical therapy group and get a great home program that includes balancing,
mm-hmm.
tilt board and different kinds of balancing. I'm going to have a guest on tomorrow, Eric, the strong
okay.
board. Is a spring-loaded balance apparatus. I'm
mm-hmm.
working with balance. Bob Guida created what we used to call instability training. I've got
yep.
slides of athletes like Gary Fensick of the Super Bowl Bears using a mini trampoline to stand
yep.
in balance on, which is high-performance exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Strongboard is like a spring-loaded challenge board. Their creator, the therapist, Mike Curry, is my guest tomorrow. But to
nice.
get a home program, you know, sometimes these kids are loaded. They're scheduled up to their ears. And going to the gym is very, very difficult time-wise. So we want to get on a good home program, which includes rubber bands to
yep.
strengthen feet and ankles, which includes balance app. You buy it all for $9.
How can you go? You can't go wrong with that.
You bounce it off a guy like you who can
yep.
add strength training into
yep.
their whole apparatus and show them what is the best way. You know, my young daughter's a swimmer, She's overusing her shoulders times 1,000, for example. And then they're talking about what kind of program really makes sense. Again, there ain't an athlete running, jumping around that orthotics wouldn't be a step up when done properly. When done properly is in quotes.
Well, you know something, when you're talking about the $9 deal there with the bands and all that, which is incredible, I always say that like this, give me a sandbag, I'll give you the world.
Right.
Believe me.
You know,
if people look at me and say, how can you take a sandbag and make an athlete? I said, well, you got to come over and train with me. I'll show you.
Guida used to say I could train an Olympian with 2 spoons and a rubber band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interestingly enough, balance exercise is great for everybody and very safe, whether it's a 5-6-year-old having fun balancing on these little surfaces like a whoopee cushion,
or
it's a 85-year-old grandmother who's using these exercises to try to reduce her chance of falling and being injured. This is a huge area in the senior population is falling. And so many times we'll see that you can incorporate the simplest. You can be the best athlete in the world, and rubber bands will challenge him or her big time. Or surgical tubing, we've all seen. But you need good technique, and you need to be able to. So again, parents, besides the sport itself, is your coach or your child's coach an expert in the athletic ability of your son or daughter developing? I doubt it. They're usually a good coach. So many times, again, getting some feedback from physical therapy, personal training, develop a home program, smart.
Absolutely. We got anything else, Doc?
That's it, man. We did the whole shtick.
That was good. Let me tell you, you covered 3 big things and bang. Why don't you do this? Give out any of your information, your website, anything you got coming up. I'll give out mine, and if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate
it. Okay. Again, my radio show is live. It's called The Sports Doctor. It's on healthylife.net. Healthy Life Radio is an expansive 24/7 network out of Manhattan Beach. And they've got 30, 40 authors or hosts of different shows. My show, again, called The Sports Doctor, 3 o'clock Central Standard Time. All sorts of topics in nutrition, health, wellness, sports medicine, high performance, et cetera. My website, ericsportsdoctorradio.com. You can read a lot of articles on so many different topics. You can also go way back. You can see who my guests were. You could read the topics and then decide maybe to listen to a show. Got a lot of hoopla going on Twitter. I'm like 22,000 Twitter followers from all. I get a lot of guests from Eric in all areas in so many different specific. At Sports Doc, DOC Radio is the hashtag to jump in on that. And again, once a month or so, it's my pleasure to join Eric on Motivation and Muscle, as I'm watching this guy who probably will end up on ESPN somewhere, or who knows what this guy is going to be doing in podcasting, Eric. So that's the deal.
Well, thanks, Doc, and I appreciate the kind words, and you're always welcome on here. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Don't forget, www.fiorellobarbellco.com. Go out and download the Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle free ebook. Well, that's what we talk about here. You just heard us speaking. It's very straightforward and very simplistic. The problem is everybody thinks more is better. It's not. And to be able to beat yourself into the ground, no matter if you're 8 or 80, eventually you are going to suffer the consequences. So here today, you got a hell of a lot of suggestions to at least make you think before you just keep doing the same old thing everybody else is doing. With the Winner's Circle and Strength Times Power Equals Success, those are my 2 biggest products to date. Check them out. You need any help with anything, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. I'm always willing to help. MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said in the beginning, Go out and check out all the shows Dr. Weil and I have done. This will be another one that will be up very shortly. The amount of content we have out there, I believe, is second to none. I mean, for a young show that's only been around a little over a year now, I mean, we're talking, we're embarking right now. I put a 469th podcast posted this morning at like 6:30, and I'll probably do another one today because I've got to work out this afternoon, so we'll see how everything goes. We're talking 470. We're going to be at 500, which will be a milestone for me when we talk about that. But go out there, check all that out. And before I get into the rest of the show, I'm going to make an announcement. I've only said this on two shows. Motivation and Muscle Now is a 24/7 internet radio stream. And this was something I've been working on for 8 months. I didn't tell anyone because the first time it went belly up because the company went out of business. Well, we've got a hell of a provider and someone directing the stream. You can catch us. If you go out, you can find us and tune in. That's one of the big ones there. You can also, if you have car, if you have the capabilities of podcasting in your car, which all new cars do, and you can even buy aftermarket now, we are on now AHA Radio. That's AHA Radio. Go out. You can get every one of our shows when you're listening to your car if you have it that way. Also, too, which is the probably the biggest of all the internet radio directories that pushes our show out, we're on Shoutcast now. Shoutcast has 63 million listeners. So now our good friend Dr. Weil and everybody else who are on with me here now are going to be heard of all over the place. And I know he has a big reach, but you never know where we're going now. So this is big, big news. We got more big news coming about internet radio here. I have more meetings with some of the top people in these companies because we are going to do some amazing things. We might be live before the end of the year. And I will tell you this, I'm in the process of negotiating right now my own internet radio company. So get ready because I'm telling you right now, I am going to kick the you-know-what out of the world. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a five-star review. Everyone has. I thank you for that. If there's a show that you'd like Dr. Weil and I to do together, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration, encouragement. Remember this, I've talked to people, five words can change your life. And it's real important because today, more than ever, people need to hear these positive things and put them into action. It's great to hear it, but you've got to make a decision. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And it's happening more than ever, and it's sad. It really is sad that we're not communicating well anymore. Everything's texting and all. I'm not even going to get started on that. Today, like myself, if you're going to go out and lift, bend it, break it, squat it, push it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, take them and turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut our own path. We follow no one. And as everything I write now says at the very end, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you can do to the best of your ability all the time. Obliterate every goal, create brand new ones, and dent everything in your path. And by that, I mean we all have off nights when we train. We all have off nights in our life, in our entrepreneurship. That 6 inches between your brain, lay that in there because the next time you're going to take it, I live by those three words. Now, I always say no one's going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who listened to us from the very beginning, who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was a hell of a compliment because manliness is what we're all about. But we're men that will share and give opportunities to people and be strong for everybody, have leadership roles. Very important, especially for young men and young women coming up. They need role models. We need to do that for them all and for ourselves and everyone. And I think that's it. Let me think right now. That's it. But we will say that for the next 30 years, I promise you. Dr. Weil, great show. Glad to have you on, sir.
Good to be with you, Eric. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll catch you next month.
Okay, just hang on 1 second. Before we get off, here's what I always say. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And this is the biggest thing. Tell 100 of your friends, because you know now we're coming. You know, go out, get us through Shoutcast. Aha, we're all over now, and we're going to be bigger and better than ever, I promise you. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Dr. Weil will be on with us in August, if you can believe August already. And as I always say, do something great. It's not that hard. Don't think only of yourself. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.